And the topic this morning, I want to look at is setting an example, and specifically avoiding hypocrisy. And I want to start in Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 17. But if you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God and know His will and approve the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of the truth. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one should not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written. For indeed circumcision is of value if you practice the law, but if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So if the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? And he who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you who, though having the letter of the law and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. In the point of this passage, Paul's calling out the Jews here because of their hypocrisy. He's directly showing them their hypocrisy in their actions. When we look at the first few verses, we see they have a lot of things that should be going for them. They know the law. They should be relying upon the law. They boast in the law. They put their reputations in the law. They know His will. They approve the things that are good. They are instructed from the law. They're confident in themselves that they're a light to the blind. They're confident that they're the ones that are the light. They're the ones that are doing the right thing. They're instructor of the foolish, teacher of babes. They have a form of knowledge and the truth. They have a lot of things that should be good for them. And yet, what's Paul's point? They don't teach themselves. They don't practice these things. They teach these things to others, but they put themselves away. They put themselves on a pedestal where they don't have to do these things that they're teaching. And he points out they should be the ones that are teaching with not only words, but also with actions. Their teaching should be with their actions. And we see from verse 24 that because they're not teaching with their actions, they're inhibiting the gospel. They're hurting the cause of the gospel. It's being blasphemed among the Gentiles or being disregarded, being made fun of among the Gentiles, because these same people who put themselves up as being righteous followers of God, they're not doing these things. They're not setting the example. They're not practicing these things. And because of that, the gospel is being hindered. Back in high school when I was playing on the basketball team, my coach, a lot of times when we were doing our workouts in the summer and doing conditioning in the summer, he would do a lot of the things with us. And you know, it was a good motivator to see him not only yelling at us to do these things, he's actually going out there and doing some of these things himself. And you know, we're high school kids, this man 20-ish years older than us, doing all these things with us. It's a motivation when you see other people practicing what they teach. It's a lot more motivating. It's a lot more comforting to see that, knowing that even though it may be difficult, there's other people doing these things. The people that are telling us that we need to do these things are doing them as well. And we see many other cases in the scriptures of God's people being called out for their hypocrisy. If we go back into Ezekiel chapter 36, Ezekiel chapter 36 uses very similar language to Romans chapter 2. If we look in verses 16 through 21, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel was living in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their way before me was like the uncleanness of a woman in her impurity. Therefore I poured out my wrath on them for the blood which they had shed on the land, because they had defiled it with their idols. Also I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the lands. According to their ways and their deeds I judged them. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name, because it was said of them, These are the people of the Lord, yet they have come out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. We see again Israel not following in the things that God had told them. And as a result of this, they were taken out of the land. And as a result of that, they were being ridiculed by the other nations around them. And God was being ridiculed by the other nations around them, because this supposedly holy people was not even able to keep their own land. They weren't even able to defend themselves, because they weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. The Jewish leaders were called out on multiple occasions by Jesus, and I think the most famous of those is in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 23, going down to verse 31. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you built the tombs of the prophets, and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, If we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them in the shedding of the blood of prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. When we look at all these accusations brought by Jesus against the Jewish leaders, one thing I notice is in common. They're all focused on the appearance. They're all focused on their appearance to men. All these things that they're doing, it's not because they want to do them because God tells them to do them. They're doing it for appearance. They're doing it to be seen by others. And they neglected what God truly wanted, which was obedience from the heart. And we see another thing I noticed just now in verse 30. We see them saying, if we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them in the shedding the blood of the prophets. You know, it's easy to look back on past events and say, well, I wouldn't have done that. You know, it's so black and white now when we look back on past events. We need to be focused on the present, looking at ourselves in the present and making sure that we're not falling into the same traps that these men of old were falling into as well. You know, God has always desired heartfelt obedience. We see this both in the Old Testament. We saw that in Ezekiel. And we see it also in New Testament times. If we go over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29, in verse 13. Then the Lord said, Because this people draw near with their words, and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. You know, even though during the Old Testament a lot of things were shows physically of worship, physical worship, doing things of sacrifice, doing things of ritual, that didn't negate the fact that God still wanted their heartfelt obedience. He's always desired the heartfelt obedience from His people. In lip service, you know, that trying to fool God, as it were, going through the motions, it just doesn't work. We're only fooling ourselves. We're not fooling the one who truly matters. If we look over in Mark chapter 12,
Mark chapter 12, in verses 13 through 15. Then they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to him in order to trap him in a statement. They came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are truthful and defer to no one, for you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to pay a poll to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay?" But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, "Why are you testing me? Bring a denarius to look at." You know, if this question was presented to any other human being, I'm not sure that we could have seen hypocrisy at this point. The way the men came up and asked, I'm not sure that I would have been able to identify, these men aren't sincere. They don't really care about taxes. They just want to trap me up. But Jesus here, being the Son of God, was able to see hypocrisy. And that doesn't change. You know, no matter what kind of appearance we put on to others, no matter how many other people we fool, just like here, the Pharisees and Herodians weren't able to fool him. We're not going to be able to fool him either. And we see that this kind of putting on airs type of service has its reward. But that reward is not the one that we're ultimately shooting for. If we look in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6, verses 2 through 5. "So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." So what is this reward that they have at this point? The reward is being seen by people. The reward is the attention that they're getting at this point. But that reward is very temporary, and that reward is not going to get us into heaven. When we look at the idea of hypocrisy, it's not only just teaching one thing and doing another thing. It's pretending to have beliefs or standards that you don't actually have. Putting on the air of righteousness of standards that you don't actually pertain to. So, you know, hypocrisy can occur without actually sinning in the eyes of men. Hypocrisy is inward. It can be inward. It can be there without even putting on the appearance of having sin. You know, we could be doing all the right things in the eyes of men, but be full of sin, full of hypocrisy within our hearts. And that to me is the scariest part, because there's nobody there to tell you you're doing the wrong thing. There's nobody there to put you back on the right path, because it's all in here. It's all within you. And that's the hypocrisy I think we should be most concerned about and most watchful for. My personal opinion is that hypocrisy is the worst hindrance of the spread of the gospel. The simple hypocrisy of those who teach the gospel and yet don't practice it. I've seen it before. People just completely shut off the idea of Christianity, not because of anything you've done, but because of someone else that wore the name of Christian and didn't act like it, didn't do the things that they were supposed to. And at that point, it's so difficult to try to get someone to open up and see, because it doesn't matter what you show them in the scriptures, they always have that idea in their head of what the Christians in their mind act like. And that's something that was pointed out by Paul in Romans. It was pointed out in Ezekiel. People around see what we're doing, and when we put on that name of Christian, they watch even more. They want to see even more if we're really doing those things. It's not a problem that stopped with the Jews. It's not a problem that stopped with the children of Israel. And it didn't matter if what they were teaching was true or not. You know, the Pharisees, they were teaching a lot of good things. They were even going above and beyond what Christ or what the old law said. That didn't matter because of their hypocrisy as far as their teaching, because their example was what people were looking at. Their example was what Jesus was pointing out. If we go over to Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, in verses 3 through 5. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. We see the contrast of what the Pharisees and the Jews at the time were doing. We're to have this idea, this attitude of humility, have this attitude of mercy. And those two things are part of the keys of keeping hypocrisy out of our life, having humility and mercy. You know, I believe it was Brian who brought up in class that when we're teaching others, even when we're teaching within this class period, you know, it's tempting to know what the other person's going to say, know the argument that someone's going to come up with. Just simply listening to the person, no matter if you know exactly what they're going to say, no matter if you're right in knowing exactly what they're going to say, just that attitude of humility in listening to someone can go a long way when we're trying to teach the gospel. We need to keep that in mind when we're going about our lives. If we go in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 7, very simple passage from the Beatitudes. It says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." It's pretty self-explanatory. If we're to expect mercy from God, if we're to expect mercy in the day of judgment, we need to be willing to show that same mercy to others around us. I think as Christians, we need to be aware that many in the world view us as hypocrites, whether they know us or not. You know, once they know we're Christians, it doesn't matter if they know anything about us. That label is automatically put on us, again, because of what other people have done. We have to go out of our way to prove that we're not hypocrites. We have to go out of our way to show that we're really, truly living the things that we want to teach. We have to help hold ourselves to the standards of what we teach, just as the Jews were expected to hold themselves to their standards. If we go over to Daniel chapter 6, Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. "It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps, because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him." We see that Daniel, a slave from a foreign country, was being elevated to such an extent that the people around him were trying to bring him down. And what does it say about him? They could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption. No, this didn't stop them from trying to do these things. But if we're going to be persecuted, we need to be persecuted with this idea of not being able to find any accusation or ground of corruption. If we're going to be persecuted, we need to be persecuted for doing the right thing, and not because of hypocrisy, not because of things that people can find wrong with us, but because people can't find anything wrong with us. If we look into Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11, verses 53 and 54. "When he left there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to be very hostile and to question him closely on many subjects, plotting against him to catch him in something he might say." We see the same idea occurring with Jesus, trying to plot him, trying to catch him in anything that he would say. They couldn't do it because of how he was living his life. Hypocrisy, many times, is a sin that's known only to ourselves and to God. Like I pointed out before, it's the inward attitude that we have. We don't have inspired men like Paul or like Moses pointing out directly
our hypocrisy like the Jews did. You know, our service to God can appear genuine. It can seem very sincere. But we need to make sure that the one that truly matters, God, knows that our true motives are for Him. If we go over to the next chapter in Luke, chapter 12, in the first five verses, it says, under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, He began saying to His disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who has, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. That's the one we need to be impressing. That's the one that we need to be showing that we're truly following. We see in the scriptures that true obedience really shines through when we endure trials and temptations. It's easy to put on those airs of hypocrisy when there's really no disadvantage to doing so. When everyone else props you up for doing those things, but when you're being persecuted, that really shows who's truly trying to follow God, because there's no advantage anymore to being hypocritical when you're being persecuted for those things that you're following. If we look in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here, trials and temptations being compared to the refinement of gold. Each refinement makes that gold even purer than the last. And when we're going through these trials, it really brings out our true faith. It brings out our true intentions. And if we can go through those things and come out truly following God, then we can prove to not only ourselves, but to those around us that we're truly living for Christ. This morning, we need to look at ourselves. We need to make sure that we're setting the example that Christ wants us to set. Because many times, our actions do speak louder than our words. People see what we do, regardless of whether we know it or not. People see what we do, and they judge us according to those things. And people will be much more receptive to the gospel if we truly are living the life of a Christian. They can see that. They can see that we're trying to live the way that we're teaching. And if we try to teach with that humility and by that example shown to us by Jesus. You know, a lot of times hypocrisy is just blatant. You know, if we look back in past events that have happened, we can see blatant hypocrisy. But other times it's a private matter. Other times it's something that we may not even realize ourselves. We need to constantly examine ourselves, because we may be able to fool men. We may be able to fool ourselves. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, there's going to come a day when everything's going to be there. Everything's going to be shown, and our true intentions will be found out by God. So let's be on guard. Let's constantly examine ourselves. And if there's anyone here this morning that needs to make a confession of things that have been going on in their lives, they need to repent of things that they've been doing that aren't according to God's Word, you can do that this morning. The church is here to help you. If you need to be baptized, if you need to put on the name of Christ in baptism, you can do that this morning as well, as we stand and sing.